Okay. So I hope we'll be able to finish up tonight the mitzvah of Minu Dayanim, and then we can start next week already just going straight through the Gemara of Hazaros Mahavos. So we've been doing an introduction on whether or not there is an obligation to appoint standing courts. And whether there's an obligation to appoint standing courts or not, and what the nature of that obligation is. So we have the... One second. Okay, we have the Mishnah here on Dab Beis Amin Aleph, which lists all sorts of Batei Dinim, and one of the functions of the Bezin HaGadol is Ein Osin Sanhedros L'Shvatim El Api Bezin Shol Shivim V'Yachad. So Ein Osin Sanhedros L'Shvatim El Api Bezin Shol Shivim V'Yachad means that the Bezin HaGadol is tasked with the responsibility of appointing other Batei Dinim. So the question is that an obligation? Is that an obligation addressed to them? Or are they merely an instrument? Is it just more of a kind of a protocol? This is the way it's done, but it's not their chiyuv. Maybe it isn't the chiyuv at all. Maybe it's just an Eitz HaTova. So we've been examining various issues connected with this. Number one, whether there is or is not an obligation of Shoftim v'Shoftim Titan Lecha B'chol Sharecha. What we noted is that according to most Rishonim, the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Smag, most of the Rishonim are the opinion that there is a mitzvah daraisa to appoint standing courts. There are some who disagree. I mean, there are some Mefarshim who do not count in the 613 the obligation to set up courts. And some just interpret the pasuk differently. So then, assuming according to the majority view that there is a mitzvah, what is the nature of that mitzvah? So we've been pursuing four different ideas and showing how they interact. One is that it's about efficiency and access, because the alternative is to not sufficiently to discourage people from going to our coast, non-Jewish courts. And moreover, we don't want delay of justice, right? Inu Yadin. And we certainly don't want a delay in the solution, in the peaceful solution, because that means a status quo of friction, and certainly we want to avoid that. Okay, so that's one perspective. The second perspective, that's a very pragmatic perspective. The second perspective is the idea that the Rambam develops, that we talked about at length, and that is the idea of deterrent. The Rambam says that really, it's not about shoftim, per se, it's not about judges, and it's not about the judicial system. The judicial system is just a means of highlighting the obligatory nature of Jewish law, and that it is an enforceable commitment, an obligation, so that people shouldn't think that they're just on the honor system. Obviously, you want people to do things on the honor system, but the commitment to Torah, since Klal Yisrael Nasav said Nasav and Ishma, is not just voluntary. And therefore, the community sets up structures that emphasize that there is law and order, that there will be enforcement in times when there could be. And according to the Rambam, that's why Shoftim v'Shotrim Titan Lecha B'chol Sharecha. The Shoftim are there to advertise that anybody who steps out of line will be dealt with appropriately. In other words, to encourage people to observe the law faithfully. And the Shotrim are there also because they too are agents of this obligation. They go out to the stores, they check the weights and measurements, they make sure everybody's being honest, that there's order in the community, and so on. So that's the second view. According to that view, as I say, it isn't really a judicial thing. The judicial is just part of a larger idea of the encouraging people to follow the law properly. The third idea overlapping this is a much more positive spin, and that is that the presence of institutions of high learning or the judicial system, which employs judges, people who represent the Ribbono Shel Olam's laws and also hopefully his midos, right? Elohim, Elokim, having that in the community is absolutely indispensable in terms of highlighting, you know, role models and values. So when you have Dayanim walking around and they are, you know, in a high visibility position in the community, so that redefines what the concept of community is all about. And we compare that to Egla Rufa, Yodeno Lo Shafchus Adam Azeh. That's a very important idea. You know, we have really, in a way, in the Parshios that we just read, you know, the in Parshas Lech Lecha, you have this exchange between Avraham Avinu and the Rabbonu Shel Olam, you know, about Sodom and its future. And it seems like, you know, Avraham Avinu is really challenging the decision to destroy Sodom. So, Chamishim Tzadikim, Arbaim Tzadikim, Shloshim Tzadikim, and so on and so forth. All the Mepharshim weigh in, like, what really was, especially after, number one, what was the basis of the argument, and how can there, you know, a human being challenge the Rabbonu Shel Olam at all? And number two is, like, what were the specific, you know, arguments? Like, once, you know, the 50 to 40, 30, 20, whatever it was, you know, what changed from one to the other? What was the nekuda samachlokes, one might say, between, or the questioning, at least, the drisha v'chakira of Avraham Avinu and the Rabbonu Shel Olam? So it's very fascinating things that really come out of that. You know, if you look at the Svarno, in particular, he's very into this, to try to explain each stage what the question was. Is there a Rabbonu Shel Olam deciding the fate of Sodom on the basis of, you know, the majority of its population in the sense of like a Rubo Kekulo, right? If you're going to do that, so maybe, you know, if you did that to the planet, you know, you would destroy the whole planet, you know. When do you say Rubo Kekulo? When do you, you know, when do you judge individual, you know, Rasha'im, and, you know, and when in the other direction? When do you take the position that when there are tzaddikim in a place, that even is justification not only for saving them or not hurting them, it can go in either direction. There are situations where you judge the totality of a situation, and even the righteous, even the, you know, ones who have merit, end up suffering because you're looking at the bigger picture, right? And there can be the opposite effect too, that sometimes you know, the impact, let's say, or the potential impact of a righteous minority is so great that it's reason to, you know, to trigger salvation of the entire city. So he goes back and forth on these issues. And, you know, in particular, one of the arguments the Svarno puts in the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, or finds in the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that if there are 50... If there are 50 tzaddikim, so that becomes the capacity for their having impact in terms of the possibility of tshuva on the rest of the population. Okay, how he figures that out is an interesting question. Meaning, the idea is, if there are 50 tzaddikim, you should save everybody because basically that's a different kind of city. In a way, that's what we were talking about. Shoftim v'shotim titan l'chol b'chol sharecha. You want to create an environment where people, right, who stand for certain principles and ideals are prominent, because that has impact on the total atmosphere. So Avram was saying, if there's a certain critical mass of tzaddikim, you should save everybody, because what you see now is not necessarily, you know, the final you know, resolution when it comes to these people's fate. There's always the possibility of turnaround when you have that kind of, you know, population of individuals who are impressive. Rabbi Shamshon Fall Hirsch also says something very fascinating. They, if you look carefully at the psukim, so originally Moshe Rabbeinu says, Avraham Avinu says, if there are 50 tzaddikim, then leman chem, lemanam, for, you know, for their sake, you should really save the city. And the Rabbanu Shalom answers by saying, if there are 50 tzaddikim, then I will do it ba'avuram. So what's the difference between lema'anam and ba'avuram? So he says, very sharply, lema'anam means for their sake. In other words, I'm going to save the city, or I'm going to save the whole country, for the sake of the tzaddikim, in their merit. Ba'avuram means by virtue of their presence, right, there's good reason to save the city for the city's sake, not just for the sake of the tzaddikim. And he explains, he says, listen, if there is a population of righteous people that big in a city, then the city is not quite as incorrigible as it seems. After all, it's allowing, you know, the visible presence of this alternative ideology. That openness to, you know, to justice and goodness, it reflects the fact that Sodom isn't a lost cause. So that's what Rabbeinu Shlomo basically said to Avraham Avinu. He said, I'll go you one better. You want me to save the city for the 50? If there are 50, I'll save the city for the city, you know, by as reflected by the way that they treat the 50. Anyways, the basic idea I'm trying to convey is that this idea of the impact of one small group in transforming an entire milieu, basically. And you have it, you know, l'tova, and you have it l'ra'a. But basically, these are the common features of all these cases. Yeah.
Why didn't Avram get to his bottom line on his opening?
Well, again, the Farshim are very skilled at this, so they try to explain it. You know, there was like a building of the argument. Like it was, you know, Avraham Avinu is basically, you know, doing a halachic analysis. You know, as an internal, and he wasn't challenging. He was asking. He was saying like, you know, Torah hevelul modani tzarech. So let's, you know, is it this or is it that?
It's an attorney who wants the bottom line.
Yeah, the attorney wants the bottom line, but the attorney also knows that to build a good case, right, you sometimes have to go with one assumption at the time. You have to pare away, you know, and figure out what are the criteria here. So the 50 revealed something, and then, but it still could be interpreted in three ways. So then the next question revealed more, and he's basically, you know, peeling away the forces and the factors, isolating them, so he'll be able to figure out the bottom line, but only, you know, in the end of the case. Anyway, it's very interesting. But
in the discussion where Lot stood,
what's that?
Was Lot considered one of the tzaddikim?
That's not clear at all in these Mefarshim's discussion. The Pashtus, no. But anyways, I don't want to get too much into Parshas HaShavua at the moment, but I just want to show that Shoftim v'Shoftim Titan L'Chol B'Kol Sha'arecha as a shear in the ear in the city is an important idea. And that's exactly what was going on in the Vikuach about Sodom, according to some of the Mefarshim. That's exactly what Egla Rufa is about, right, where the Zakenim say, Yodeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh. And let me go one further. There are some interesting halachos. Instead of talking about it later, because I want to move on, there are some very interesting halachos about ir shera'ui l'sanhedrin, right? What's other elements? Of course, there's a critical mass. How many people in the city? How many Jews in the city? But also, for example, the Gemara says on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that in the city there has to be a certain minimum, you know, people of stature, people who are literate, people who have, you know, a training in Talmud Torah, you know, who have a certain religious stature. Why? I mean, it's strange. I don't want to go into details right now. That's Yud Zayin Amud Beis. I'll give you another one, and then I'll take the question. You know, we find here and there halachos in Shas, things that can apply or take place in an ir sheyesh b'bezdin, right? Like Egla Rufa, right? Egla Rufa requires an ir sheyesh b'bezdin, and the Farshim in Sota struggle with it on Mem Dalet. Like, why? Why does it need an ir sheyesh b'sanhedrin? Let the Ziknei Ha'ir come from wherever, from the closest town. Or I'll give you a very simple example. Everybody knows the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Right, that tkiyas, not everybody? Oh. Did you say not everybody? Oh, you did. You said, yeah, everybody. Okay. See, I pay attention to what you're saying. It like takes a second later till it gets to me. But as you know, there's a takana not to do tkiyas shofar and on Shabbos, right? Shem Yavrena Dalaramas, Brishus Arabim. And, you know, you have similar takana by Lulav and Begila, right? Okay, good. So, what about an ear? Sheyesh ba bezdin. So the Mishnah says, and the Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah, that if it's an ear, sheyesh ba bezdin, you can blow even on Shabbos. What's that about, that ear, sheyesh ba bezdin? Right? So, some of our Shem understand it in very, very practical terms. Oh, if there's a bezdin, the bezdin will be careful, they'll constantly remind you, there's more, you know, deterrent. you know, to making a mistake. But I think it could be demonstrated, the way the Rambam has a very complicated view of all this, is that for the Rambam, the idea of Ir Sheyesh Bo Bezdin is also a way of elevating the stature and the status of the city. And Ir Sheyesh Bo Bezdin basically means that, you know, it's a different environment. It's not so much that the Bezdin are going to intervene or you're afraid of them and therefore you're not going to make a mistake. It's that it's a different kind of a town. So this whole idea that the presence of, you know, model citizens, Talmidei Chachamim, walking Sifrei Torah, you know, impacts upon the total environment has a lot of applications, and it's a very important idea. It's why when you want to build a city, well, you want to have a mikveh, you want to have a shul, you want to have a yeshiva, you know, you want to have a bezdin. Again, the Rambam of the Talmud Torah, when he speaks about every city requiring yeshiva, uses the expression b'kol pelachu pelachu b'kol ir v'ir, which is the expression borrowed from a bezdin. It's his way of saying that these institutions are there for the sake of religious services, but even as they're there for religious services, they are also there to give a different character, to elevate the total community. And this is what happens. Yeah?
Do we have any evidence at all, historically, that this made a difference? I mean, it's very nice conceptually, theoretically, but...
I mean, are there crime statistics that indicate that Ir Sheyesh Bo Bezdin was...
That an ear that you had, where you... I mean,
I don't know if there are statistics.
The whole Jewish history is...
I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, we know that, you know, in a place where there are institutions of Jewish life, that has tremendous impact, both from the service component perspective and also just in terms of raising the profile of spiritual life generally, but also because of the presence of robot. I don't think we need statistics for it. Are there statistics? I'm not aware.
Right, then the Nevi'im had a lot of trouble with that.
What?
The Nevi'im had a lot of trouble with Jewish communities that were just not...
Right, but I don't think that the trouble they had was, you know, that it was irrespective of who lived and what impact the people, you know, in the communities had. More likely, the bigger trouble was when you didn't have the presence of great men and their impact. I mean, it seems like you don't need statistics, is what I'm saying. I think we know it anecdotally. I mean, take communities that you know, where there is a strong presence, strong shul, a strong school, a strong mikveh, you know, and it's obvious to me that it makes a big difference, but... I don't know whether anybody ever did a sociological or a statistical study.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The Rambam's view of Anshei Shechem.
Yeah. We'll get to Anshei Shechem in a minute.
Does the Goyim also have a chiyuv of constituting a beis din, or is it a vigilante approach?
Okay. So since you asked, let's discuss it. And then I want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So I want to discuss... regarding this mitzvah, we've discussed a lot of it already. Last thing we were discussing in the end of the last year was the question of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, which I'll get back to. But since you asked me about Bnei Noach, that's a very good parallel, so let's talk about Bnei Noach quickly, too. So turn for a moment, before we get back to our sheets, turn for a moment to Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. In Sanhedrin. Nun Vav Amud Beis. 56b. Okay, so the Gemara here in Arba Misos in this part of Sanhedrin. This is the part of Sanhedrin starting from Nun Vav Amud Aleph, you know, or earlier maybe even remember, which deals with the Shemitz Bnei Noach, right? So the Gemara here. On Anun Vav Amud Beis says as follows. Now let me see if I can find it. Just one second. Well, you know what? Let's start earlier just for a second. Anun Vav Amud Aleph. just to provide the content, on the bottom of the page, Tan Rabbanan, the second to last line on the previous page, on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Sheva Mitzvos Nitzavu B'nei Noach. Okay, B'nei Noach were commanded seven mitzvos, and they were Dinin, which is what you asked me about, which is what we're going to discuss for a minute, Birchas Hashem, right, blasphemy, Akum, right, Avodah Zarah, in other words, Gilui Arayos, in whatever configuration applies, that's the details are not important for the moment, Shvichus Damim, right, murder, Gazel, theft, and Eiver Minachai. Eiver Minachai really is quite different from the others. That really was introduced by Noach, you know, in time of Noach, actually. But okay, Eiver Minachai. These are the Sheva Mitzvei Noach. Rab Chanina, Ben Gamlomer, Afal Adam, Minachai, etc. Okay. So then the Gemara basically says, if you skip down, Minani Mili, this is 3, 6, 9, about 11 lines down in the page. Everybody have it? Towards the end of the line? The Gemara says, Minani Mili, how do you know that there are these seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemar, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel, right? Vayitzav, now breaking it down, Elu Hadinim. This is Rabbi Yochanan speaking. So Vayitzav refers to Dinim. V'cheinu Omer ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaveh es banav es beiso acharav, right? Hashem, Zubirchas Hashem. V'cheinu Omer v'nokev Shem Hashem mosimas. And each of these words is a remez to one of the Shemets Bnei Noach. Elokim, Zu'akum. V'cheinu Omer lo yelo ka Elohim acherim, right? Al Hadam, Zushvichas Damim, Chen Omer Shofech Dam Hadam, the Gomer, Leymar Zugilui Arayos, Chen Omer Leymar Hain, Ishalach Ishes Ishto, Vahokham Eito, Vahisal Ishacher, Mikol Eitzagan, right, Velo Gezel, Achol Tochel, Velo Eber Menachai. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Kias Rabbi Yitzchak Tani Ipcha, Rabbi Yitzchak switched it around a little bit. Instead of Vaitzav being Dinim, it's Vaitzav Zu Akum, Elokim, Zu Dinim. Okay? And then the Gemara says, Bishlomo Elohim, Zu Dinim, Dechsev, Nikra Balaba Elobais Eloh Elokim. Elevaitzav, Zu Akum, by Mashma. And then the Gemara goes on to explain. Okay, good. So what do we have so far? The idea that Dinim is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? And there's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yitzchak whether it is derived from the word Vayitzav, Rabbi Yochanan. We'll see why this is very important in just a minute. Or Elokim, right? That's the source for Dinim, right? Everybody with me so far? Good. Okay. So then the Gemara says as follows. Skip down a little bit. The Gemara says, Dinin b'nei Noach ifkud. Everybody have that? This is about 10 lines from where I was before, or a little more maybe. Everybody have that? It's in the middle of a line. But it's about two-thirds of the way down the page. Yeah? You'll see the little gimel of the Rambam, Lim'ute Shalokadarka. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows, and this is very interesting, I think. Dinin b'nei Noach ifkud. B'nei Noach are obligated. Dinin means some sort of law, right? Civil law. V'atanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa, Eser mitzvos, Nitzdavu Yisrael b'mara. In Mara, right, when they camped out on the way, so they were given 10 commandments. Sheva Shekibo Lem B'nei Noach. The Shevmas B'nei Noach were given to Klal Yisrael also. Viho Sifu Aleim. And in addition to the 7, were also 3 more. That's 10. What are the 3 more? Dinin. There are different lists. Rashi and Perish Allah Torah is a different list a little bit. Dinin, Shabbos, Kibbut Aveim. Okay? Dinin Dechsiv. How do you know Dinin was added to the 7 at Mara? Sham, Sam, Lo, Koka Mishpat, right, Vasham, Nisal. So that's the Limud. Shabbos, the Kibbut Aveim, the Siv Kasher, Tziv Kasher, Lo Kecha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda kasher sifcha b'mara. Okay, so what's the problem? What's the question? We said that Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach includes Dinim, and then we turn around and we say that in Mara there were seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, plus Dinim, and two more. So obviously Dinim wasn't in the seven list, right? Ah. So now this seems like we're challenging whether Dinim is really one of the seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, right? So every word the Gemara is going to say is going to be important here. So we have to pay close attention. So the Gemara says, "Om Rav Nachman, Om Rabba Baravu Lo Nitzukal LeEda VeEdem VeHasra." Very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, "Really, Dinin does apply to Ben Noach. That's one of the seven. What do you mean? Hosifa Aleim B'Mara? They added other Dinim. What they added was, in addition to the Dinim of Ben Noach, the changes that apply to Klal Yisrael's Dinim. And what are those? Eda." Edim Hasra. Meaning, you need Dayanim, you need two Edim, and you have to give Hasra in capital cases. That's what Dinim mean. That's what the Gemara thinks that Dinim mean. That's very curious. I mean, so there's Dinim of Shevitz Bnei Noach, and they added three details? And that's called Hosifu Aleim Asadinim? We'll see in a moment. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi, my host, my vihosifu Aleim Dinim. Right? Elamarava Lenitzchel Ledine Knossos. Okay, maybe it isn't the mechanism of how you convict, you know, a criminal. Maybe it's the dinim that they added was a whole different area of law. Right? That's not the methodology of conviction or the threshold of conviction, but a topic of law which doesn't apply to non-Jews, even though it's under the larger rubric of civil law, and that is Dine Knossos. Okay. So the Gemara says, Akate vehosifu bidinin miboyel. It shouldn't say hosifu dinim, but it should have said hosifu bidinim, meaning they added to the, structure, they added more. So it doesn't sound that's what the Gemara meant. Ela Maravacha Bar Yaakov Lenitzucha Ela Lahoshiv Bezdin B'chol Pelach Pelach B'chol Ir V'Ir. This is where your question comes in. What they meant was that for Klal Yisrael they insisted not only that there be dinim, but that there be standing courts B'chol Pelach Pelach B'chol Ir V'Ir. Exactly what we found in Makos when the Gemara was describing Eretz Yisrael. Right. So it sounds like the difference between dinim of Bnei Noach and Dinin of Yisrael, which they added in Mara, was not the body of law, not the methodology of law, right? But the requirement of standing courts. That's really strange, if you ask me. That's so important. Well, obviously, there are two ways to understand Vosifo Lema Hadinim, right? One is it's details, some trivial details even, or a different approach to law, as I'll explain in a moment. That's obviously much preferred. What do they add in Mara? A couple of pratim, right? A different perspective. And that different perspective is captured by, originally the Gemara thought, Eda Edom Bahasra, then Dine Knossos, now Lahoshiv Bate Dine B'chol Pelech B'chol Kol Ir V'Ir. Strange. So the Gemara says, V'ha B'nei Noach Lo Yifkud, even then the Gemara says, they're not excited, they're not happy. Right? Bnei Noach don't have the obligation to set up standing courts. But Tanya, Kashem Shem Nitzavu Yisrael Lo Shivat Edina B'chol Pelech U'Pelech B'chol Ir V'Ir. Kach Nitzavu Bnei Noach Lo Shivat Edina B'chol Pelech U'Pelech B'chol Ir V'Ir. Just as Jews have this obligation, so do Bnei Noach. Ela Marava, Hay Tana Tana Debei Menashehu, De Mapich Doch V'Ayol Soch. Okay, the details aren't important. Meaning, yeah, there are different lists of Shemnitz Bnei Noach. You know, Hanami, this Brisa assumes that dinim is not on the list. Okay. But before we got to that last line, we had a very fascinating Shakla Vitaria. The Gemara is struggling with a problem, an objective problem, right? How can it be that Bnei Noach are included in dinim, and yet they added dinim in Mara, implying that it's something unique to the Jewish experience, right? So the Gemara thought, originally, Eda, Edim, Hasra. How many witnesses, how many judges, the need for Hasra. Then the Gemara thought, Dine Knossos. And then the Gemara thought, Lahoshiv Bate Dine B'chol Pelech U'Pelech B'chol Ir V'Ir. And finally the Gemara said, no, Bnei Noach have that obligation too. We'll get back to that in a second. So before we get to that, like, what's going on here?
What's happening in this whole Shaka V'Tari of the Gemara?
So I would say there are two ways to explain it. One is what we said before, which I find to be very unsatisfying. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just, you know, I find it problematic. And that is that the Gemara is struggling mightily to find a couple of pratim, a couple of details that differentiate Jewish law from non-Jewish law. It's hard to believe this is all they could find, and it's hard to believe that you'd make such a fuss about what happened in Mara if all it was were a couple of details, right? So what I prefer to suggest is that what the Gemara is trying to struggle to say is one idea, but it's being exemplified in various ways. What it's saying is as follows. There's something called Dinan of Bnei Noach, and it's very limited. There are only seven of them. And even for what there is, it's very pragmatic. The purpose of it is subsistence, to maintain a coherent society, to preclude anarchy, right? That's the most basic point of civil law anyway, right? And as far as that is concerned, there's no requirement of dine knossos. It's too exotic. It's quid pro quo is good enough, meaning you cause me a loss, I have to pay for it. You have to pay for it. You don't need knossos necessarily, as we'll explain in a moment. And frankly, you know, and the lawyers in the crowd can tell me if I'm wrong, things like Eda V'Edem V'Hasra, you know, are very noble, but they're also very cumbersome. And they can get away, they can get in the way of dispatching real justice, certainly effective justice. People, the more, you know, civil safeguards you have, right, the more admirable and you know, and idealistic maybe the system in terms of protecting its own reputation, right, that it should do no, you know, what is it, what do the doctors say, right, to do no harm, right? So we don't want a legal system that's going to do harm, and therefore we build in extra protections to secure that it is not going to, you know, falsely condemn, right? Every system, every fair system of law has to struggle with this dialectic. On the other hand, if you build in too much, then the system is inefficient, and it's not going to be a deterrent either, right? So what's going on in the Gemara, clear to me at least, what's going on in the Gemara is saying as follows. There's a din of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. And the reason that there are only seven, right, is the same reason why the scope of each of these and the nature of it is also going to be characterized by efficiency and pragmatism, as I said before. But Jewish law, expanded in Mara already, right, has to address also the idealistic component, because it's Mishpat Elokim, as we'll soon see. And therefore, even, you know, everybody knows the famous Mishnah in Makos, but a Bezin that, you know, convicts for murder and implements, executes every 7 years, every 70 years, is a Bezin Katlonis, right? We bend over backwards. And part of the way that we do that is not one aid, but two Eidim, right? And there's Rishav Chakira, we'll discuss it during the year. And not, you know, one Dayan usually, at least in the bigger cases, but either three or in capital cases, 23, with all sorts of, you know, you have to have a two-man majority in a capital case, right? Shafto Eidah V'Yitzilo Eidah V'Noki V'Tzadik Altaro and Hasra'a, right, Lahavkin ben Shogig Lemezid, or maybe even Lahatir Atzma Lemisa. It's almost like he has to sign his own, you know, death warrant. He has to kind of acknowledge that if he goes ahead with this, he's forfeiting his life. These are remarkable safeguards, necessary or reflective at least, of a system, right, which bends over backwards to be just, which is, you know, Mishpat Elokim, certainly sacrifices something occasionally, in efficiency. Now again, there are ways to overcome that. I mean, there are some unofficial, you know, informal mechanisms that the halacha can use, kippah and other things, you know, to take kind of even the, you know, to even up the sides of the dialectic. But still, there's a tremendous principle that's being formulated here. So that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, what's the difference between Dina B'nai Noach and Dina Yisrael? Eda
Edim, Hasra'ah. Then the Gemara says, Dine Knossos. Why Dine Knossos? Because that's above and beyond. Right? So when you steal, so of course you have to pay back. That's kaf, that's Karen. That's quid pro quo. That's regular Mishpat. But paying back kafel, right, is a harsh punishment. Kafel. Or Allah Dalad Behay. That's because it's an abominable thing, taking somebody's property. It isn't just about Dine Mamanis. It's about a violation of their ownership. In a way, it's like an invasion of their Tzalam Elokim to some extent, too. Right? So in a way, what the Gemara is saying is, Eda, Edim, Hasra, Dine Knossos, this is what differentiates Jewish law from secular civil law. Then the Gemara goes one more, and the Gemara says, no, maybe... What were they mosif in Mara? Lahoshiv bate dinim b'chopelech upelech b'chalir v'ir. Wow! What's that got to do with anything? The answer is, in light of everything we've been discussing, a whole lot. Meaning, what have we been saying? That the purpose of having access to bate dinim is not merely for the sake of efficiency and to preclude using our ka'us or maintenance of the friction and so on, but rather having courts in a community is a way of, you know, promoting the values of Elohim through the media of Elohim. So that's a great, way to highlight the difference between Jewish civil law and secular civil law. Except that, I'm going to take a question in 30 seconds, except that at the end of the day, the Gemara says, no, it's not true. We're Moshev Batei Dinim for Bnei Noach too, right? Ah. So, in the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, it says, no, it's not true, and then they can't have to come with something else, right? And we have Bekol Pelech Pelech Bekol Ir for us, we have Bekol Pelech Pelech Bekol Ir V'Ir for them. But, if you look at the Rambam in Avos Melachim, Perek Tes Halacha Dalid, and the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin here on Nun Vav Midbeis, they have a different gears than the Gemara. The gears that they have is that when it comes to Bnei Noach, the obligation is Kol Pelech Upelech, but not Kol Ir V'Ir. Just like we saw with regard to some of the Rishonim regarding, like Rambam regarding Chutz La'aretz. So Mimonoshach, either you have to have standing courts, right? Or you don't. What's the difference? You have to have standing courts, but for Jews have to have it, b'chol pelech u'b'chol ir, and everybody and the other rest of the world has to have it, b'chol pelech, but not b'chol ir. Only in the state capital, not in every city. What's the answer? The answer is exactly what we've been talking about, and that is, having courts available serves numerous functions. So, for the function of efficiency and swift justice, you don't need b'chol pelech u'pelech b'chol ir v'ir. As long as you don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael to get this on Gimel Regalim, you're in pretty good shape. So you'll travel another couple of miles. But if you're interested in transforming the spiritual, profile of the community and having a presence of Elohim, so then kol pelech u'pelech b'chol ir v'ir is required. So what we're saying is, that's the difference between Jewish law and non-Jewish law. But I'm not finished yet, but I'll take some questions first. Yeah.
What's the Gemara rejection? Why is the Gemara rejecting that?
They just think that linguistically it doesn't sound. Hosifu dinim doesn't. That's not dinim. That's the method of conviction.
Even if you're saying that that's a fundamental shift in the.
Right, I don't think they're arguing that it isn't a fundamental shift. I think they're saying that the words, don't seem to say that, so we must be saying something else. Just like in the continuous, it should say bid dinim. I think it's a linguistic more than anything else. Yeah.
Just questioning you referred to what the difference between what was added at Mara. You said could it possibly be such details? When in fact the Adim Adim of Asra, Jerusalem stands alone. It almost makes all the DNA unexecutable.
Well, I think you're saying what
it's so profound Asra.
I think you're saying what I ended up saying.
No, but maybe you said you call them details.
No. I was saying there are two ways to look at the Gemara. One is to say that these things are symbolic of a totally different approach to justice, which is what you just said, and which is what I was saying, which is what I was concluding. The straw man that I was rejecting was to say, oh, there are a few details different that differentiate this law from that law. What I was trying to say was, it's hard for me to believe that this is about a couple of pratim, of details. Rather, I'm not saying it isn't about the pratim. These pratim, these details, highlight a fundamental difference in approach, which I think is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you 100%. That's what I'm saying. Now, as I say, in the Pelech of Pelech, the Chalir Vir, it ends up this way in the Maskana. Yeah.
Why do they refer to it as B'nai Noach?
Oh. I'm sorry?
Why do they refer to it as Shemus B'nai Noach? Why not Shemus is B'nai Adam?
You're setting me up. Because you have an answer, that's why. But I'll tell you my answer very quickly. And that is that Noach, I think that the Shemus B'nai Noach are characteristic, particularly of Noach. I mean, Noach is a survivor. Noach is a kind of a compromise figure. Noach is somebody who, you know, whose whole life basically is to ensure continuity. But he's a relativist, right? Tamim ayabedor rosav esalehim esalach Noach. So I don't want to do a whole drush on Noach right now. But that's the and that's why Avram and Achai is a great Hosifu Avram and Achai, because even that's a compromise in a way, right? So I think Adam was, you know, started off being an idealist. And Noach, you know, from the very beginning and his whole history, the good and the bad, you know, the Eish Darshan Leganai and the Eish Darshan Leshabach, both of them reflect, even the good reflects, that he is basically a relativist kind of a person, a survival person, a transition person, and therefore calling it mitzvahs B'nai Noach, in my opinion, is perfect. But you sounds like you have a better answer or a different answer. Yeah, I was wrong. You didn't have an answer? What? Oh, okay. I think that's not just true. I think that really is the point. Because you're right. Six out of the seven were given to Adam.
The question is by Yitzhak, Velokim, and so on.
Adam. Yeah, 100%. 100%. So that's why I always explain, how I always explain it. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. If you didn't have Ada, Ada Masra, or Knossos, you wouldn't need a Bezdin in each year for years.
Why do you say that?
Because that's where most of the headaches are coming from. Otherwise,
I don't know.
Those little gritty details.
No, I mean, there are six sukhin. There are people, you know, get into trouble even without, you know, aid of Edom and Basra. In my anecdotal experience. Anyways, you asked me about Shechem. So, let me take a little bit of a step further. First of all, let me make a comment first, because this is just building up to what we're talking about. You know, I always like to explain that an analysis of Jewish civil law is really useful in highlighting what is unique about Yahadus in general. Because you're taking, for two reasons. Number one, you're taking the area where there's an overlap between other cultures and Judaism. Every system of law has to, you know, every system of government, every society needs to govern itself, you know, Ishas Kaveru Chaim Blao, otherwise, you know, the law of the jungle will take over. So every society, every culture needs a civil law. So you have the most universalist, you know, component, let's say, and then you can really see how does the idealism of Yahadus transform relative to other systems. When you add to that dinin is an obligation of B'nai Noach, we're going to see the scope of that in just a second, so it's even more so. And then you have the opportunity to really, you know, put it under a microscope and see, you know, what the differences are. I always think it's very fascinating that Parshas Mishpatim, which, you know, delineates most of the of civil law dinim, is like the most incomprehensible parsha, you know, al derech hapshat. That if you read Torah Shebichsav of Parshas Mishpatim, you really can't make heads or tails of most of it. Much more so than other parshios. You would have thought that when it comes to the universal civil law, which does apply, which has to apply to every culture, that the Torah would be very explicit about it. But in a way, it's the Torah's way of saying, we have Torah Shebal Peh, we have a Mesorah for civil law. Our civil law is not like their civil law. And this is captured in numerous other things. I'm going to just give you a couple of quick examples before I apply it to the next point of what you asked. The Gemara says in Brachos on Davav Amin Aleph, Shnayim Shiyashvu, you know, or Shlosha Shiyashvu, you know, Bedin, Bedanu, Din Emes Lamita, or something like that, you know, Hariyashchina Imahim. Okay. Then the Gemara quotes the Psukim, Oz Nidbaru Yirei Elokim. So then the Gemara says, you know, Pshita. Like, is that obvious? So the Gemara says, no. Kasolka Daitach Deshalma Bialmahu Kamash Malan, right, Dina, or something like that, Din Torahu. A very interesting exchange. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, you might have thought that when three Dayanim get together and they honestly discharge their duty, right, that has nothing to do with the Shechina. It has to do with Shalom, with peace. Because basically we're talking about civil law. We're talking about disputes that arise or misunderstandings or, you know, greedy, you know, men who, you know, overstep their bounds intentionally. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding, sometimes it's intentional, and need to be reined in. And this is something that applies to every group of human beings, you know, because that's in their nature. So, you know, what does that have to do with the presence of the Shekhinah? That's general ethics. Shalma bialmahu. And what they're really doing is imposing peace on society, which is a big thing. It's not a small thing. So the Gemara, that's what he's saying. No, Shekhinah imahem. Kamash malan, that din isn't just shalom, din is Torah. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, that's what Rabbeinu Yonah means. Rabbeinu Yonah has, in his Parish on Avos, two comments which seemingly are conflicting, but when you put them together, it's a fascinating picture. One is as follows. Right in the beginning of Avos, we have a list, right? Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. What is it? Al Torah Al Avoda and Gvilas Hasadim. Then you have Al Shlosha Dvarim in the end of the parak, Ha'olam, let's say, Kayam? What do you want to say?
I think that's what it says.
That's the problem. There are different girsos in both Mishnayos. Some have both Omeid, some have both Kayam, some have Omeid in the first and Kayam in the last. I'll explain. Anyways, what are those Shlosha Dvarim? Din, Emes, and Shalom. Right? Good. So the Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is picked up by the tour, so it became even more famous. The Rabbeinu Yonah had the girsa of Torah Avoda Gemilas Chasadim Omeid, right? And Din Emes and Shalom Kayam. So he wanted to explain what's the difference between Omeid and Kayam. So he explained, and this was picked up by the tour. The tour's Hakdama to Chosha Mishpat is a quotation of this Rabbeinu Yonah. A lengthy, lengthy, lengthy quotation of this Rabbeinu Yonah. Omeid means the purpose of the world. Why was the world created? What is the objective of life? Excuse me. Kayam, right, is what keeps the world going, what ensures its stability, you know, so that it won't break down into chaos. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. So Torah Avoda Gemilas Chasadim, that's ideally why the world exists, right? Din, Emes, and Shalom are mechanisms that ensure, you know, that the world is stable. Totally makes sense. That highlights that Din is a very pragmatic, you know, area of halacha. And certainly, there's a lot of evidence that that's the case. I mean, we say, Masna Masha Kasa B'Torah B'Tanai Dabar Shiva Mamon Is Kayam. You know, you can renegotiate the halacha in some case if everybody agrees. Obviously, civil law is a much more, it's about money, it's been on a lechavero, right? It's often about agreements, and this pshara, we'll get to pshara, we'll get to the Vav and Dav Zayin, we'll see this manifestation of this. Obviously, this is a very obvious, other cultures have it, we have it, okay. But then Rabbeinu Yonah has another comment, where he says, also in the beginning of Avos, Hevum Vesunim B'nei Mamru Shlosha Dvarim, and the third one is, Hevum Vesunim, or the second one is, Hevum Vesunim Hamidu Tamidim Harbe, Hevum Vesunim Badin, and Asu Siag LaTorah, right? So what is Hevum Vesunim Badin? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Din here, it's a chiddush, means Chosha Mishpat. And what it means is, Hevum Vesunim, if you're patient, that's not the way normally it's, interpreted, be deliberate in judgment. Meaning, if you're a dayan, or something like that, don't give a snap answer, right? Make sure you think about it, you understand the repercussions, you double check. Meaning, don't be so quick to answer.
be cautious, be reticent, be careful, be responsible. Okay. But Rabbeinu Yehuda unquestionably agrees that that's what it also means. But he also says it means this. Have a mesunim, spend a lot of time, be deliberate, meaning focus and analyze carefully, din, kosher mishpat.
What,
din imamanas? And it's, then he quotes the pasuk, you know, haskel, meaning haskel with seichel, the yadoa osi, says the Rabbeinu Sholem, if you really want to understand me, which is what we want to do, we want to understand Yediyas Hashem, right? It's through din. It's through Choshe Mishpat. That's not just pragmatic. That's not just shalom. Right? Both of these things are true. That's the idea. It's not just shalom bi'alma. It's Torah. So the interface between Jewish law and non-Jewish law, civil law, becomes very crucial. Ah, so let me now talk about the Rambam and Ramban very quickly. There's a debate between the Rambam and Ramban in understanding what is Dinin of Bnei Noach. And it centers around the parsha in Vayishlach, right? The story of Dina and Shechem and Shimon and Levi, the Bnei Yaakov, right? So again, the short part of all this. So we know the story. Everybody knows the story. You know, Dina was violated by Shechem, right? And the brothers, Shimon and Levi, you know, took revenge on the city. And they told them that, you know, we're going to be your partners. And then in the context of their, you know, agreeing to Bris Mila, they slaughtered them, and so on. And Yaakov Avinu is extremely unhappy about all this. Achartem osi, and he's very critical of them. And then they respond very sharply, too. We're not going to get into all the details. There's so much to talk about. And then in Parshas Vayechi, years later, on his deathbed, he was still angry, still critical, maybe even more critical. Right? Shimon v'levi achim klei chamas mecheroseihem. Right, he's very critical. Fine. So there's a debate between the Rambam and Ramban, which partially, only partially, comes down to the question, who's right? Shimon v'Levi were not small people. Right, they were the Bnei Yaakov. Right? Yaakov was upset with them, and they were, even then they responded like, you know, we think we did the right thing. So who's right and who's wrong? So the Rambam... In Hilchos Melachim, says, well, Bnei Noach are obligated in Dinim. And what does Dinim really mean? So here the Rambam says, you know, or here what the Rambam does is, he narrows Dinim in such a way that the consequences of ignoring it become more meaningful. That sounds strange, right? So let me explain what I mean. He says, Dinim doesn't mean that Bnei Noach need to have a legal system. It means that they need to enforce the other six mitzvot b'nei Noach. Now, since Dina was taken forcibly, that's gezel, so basically the laws of b'nei Noach would require that whoever did that should be punished and executed, right? Since that was ignored by the local townsmen who had the capacity to do this, they violated Dinim, meaning they didn't enforce one of the other six. They violated Dinim, and they were all Chayiv Misa, and that's why Shimon and Levi did what they did. Now, what's particularly fascinating, which we're not going to discuss right now, is, so what was Yaakov's objection? Which is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says in his Perush al Torah, in Vayishlach, he says, according to the Rambam's understanding, so Shimon and Levi should have gotten, a medal. What, because Yaakov Avinu was a little queasy, or he felt that, the timing wasn't right. So they were bold, they did the right thing, you know, his queasiness should not turn into criticism. Moreover, again, you know, all those years later, when nothing did happen, at least make say, oh, he was scared at the time, he thought there'd be retaliation, achartem osi. But, you know, all those years later, he could have said something admiring about them. Right? So for the Rambam, what you need to say is, Shimon and Levi might have been right, and it doesn't mean that they were right. Meaning, they might have had a basis for what they did. It's not clear that they were obligated to implement this. I would add, certainly, when there's a Yaakov Avinu around, the fact that they don't ask, and he would have told them not to do it, they probably didn't ask because they knew he would tell them not to do it, right? Also, the Chil Hashem component, which is what he emphasized, achartem osi, you muddied the water here. Meaning, you could be right, meaning there could be a basis for what you're doing, and there also, it's a complicated question. If you want to use the expression, it needs Das Torah, that spot, whatever you want to call it, it needs consultation with a more refined one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. And therefore, I think it's even more powerful for the Rambam. Yaakov was right, you know, even though Shimon and Levi, you know, had a foundation, Rambam is explaining, like, where did they go wrong? What were they thinking? The answer is, technically, formally they had a good argument. The Afa Pichain, all that pales when you have a Yaakov Avinu who's telling you not to do it. Anyways, okay. What does Ramban say? The Ramban doesn't like my answer. He says, I don't understand. Yaakov should have, you know, given them medals instead of, if that's really the case. He says, really? Yaakov thought that they were practically murderers. Right? Why? So the Ramban says, because the Rambam is wrong about Dinim. Dinim is not a detail to implement the other six. Dinim is a extensive, comprehensive system of civil law. It includes theft, and it includes shomrim, and it includes nezikin, and it includes kinyanim, and it includes onah. It's interesting what the Ramban thinks it includes. By the way, let me add, the Ramban's reading of the Gemara, I'm sorry, the Ramban's reading worked much better in the Gemara. Because what did our Gemara ask here? The Gemara said, how could you say that there's dinim for Bnei Noach? We said that, you know, in Mara, they added dinim for Bnei Yisrael, but they already had it for Bnei Noach. But according to the Rambam, that this only means the enforcement of the other six, it's not such a strong question. Right? Meaning they really gave laws to Klal Yisrael. In the case of Bnei Noach, they said, you know, make sure to implement the other six. Okay, that aside. But what's Ramban's view? Ramban says as follows. Because the enforcement part is, of course, part of the legal system, but now it becomes a little detail in the legal system. Meaning, it's a massive obligation to set up a total, you know, a constitution, you know, laws, fair laws. So one of the details of that is implement the laws, so you violated the implementation clause, you don't get the death penalty for that. That's not a wholesale rejection of dinim. That's the Ramban. According to the Ramban, you can understand the Gemara better. Oh. But what I want to add now is the following fascinating point. There's a tshuva of the Ramban. I should have put it on the sheets, but I didn't have a chance. There's a tshuva of the Ramban. The Ramban says as follows. The Gemara records a debate, right, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yitzchak. What's the source for Dinan of Bnei Noach? Right? Rabbi Yochanan said, Vaitzav. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, Elokim. Right? So says the Ramah, in my opinion, this is like off the charts fascinating. It says, in my opinion, this little machlokas in the Gemara about what the makor for Din of Bnei Noach is a fundamental machlokas about the nature of non-Jewish civil law. Right? And the machlokas goes as follows. If you say it comes from Vayitzav, so then basically, non-Jewish civil law is any legal system, you know, the details are not important, that is fair, right? And that is just, and that is consistent, and that is effective. But if you say that the makar of dinim for Bnei Noach is Elokim, right? When you bring the Rabbanu Shalom into it, it sounds like you're demanding a higher level of idealism. Namely, it's got to be the perfect legal system. Then says the Ramah, in my opinion, it actually means Choshe Mishpat. Meaning, all things being equal, Dinin of Bnei Noach means that Choshe Mishpat applies, you know, except for the rare situations where it doesn't, to non-Jews, ideally. So,
you wouldn't violate the Isser of teaching Torah to nothing if you have a
I guess not in Chosha Mishpat. According to the Ramah, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. 100%. So then the question is, how do you paskin? Right? So the Netziv... So the Ramah says, I think the Ramah says we paskin like, I think Rabbi Yochanan. and it comes on Vaitzah. The Netziv, in his parish on the Shiltos, quotes this Tshuva of the Rama. He says, no, we paskel like Rabbi Yitzchak, but it just can't be. Why can't it be? So he says, we say the pasuk in Tehillim all the time. Lo asachen l'chol goy, mishpatim ba yida'um, haleluka. So what do you mean, lo asachen l'chol goy, mishpatim ba yida'um? They don't know judge justice. We demand that they not only have a legal system, but according to the, if you paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, according to the Ramah's reading of it, we demand that they have our system of choshen mishpat. So what's the mishpatim bayidaum haleluka? So it says we don't paskin that way. Okay.
You're not allowed to teach a goy Torah.
Simple's just asking me. Okay, you're not allowed to teach, according to that view, you wouldn't be allowed to teach him, I'm saying, if he was obligated to Choshen Mishpat, so you still wouldn't be allowed to teach him, Taros, or Kadshim, or Zroim, or, you know, maybe about Eid of Yedav Asra, or Dinei Knossos, maybe not, I don't know. Okay. What's the answer for the Netziv, if you hold this way? So I think the answer is along the lines that we've spoken before, which is as follows. In the end of the day, right, part of the Elu Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneihem, we'll speak about this next week, hopefully, Lefneihem V'lo Lefnei Arkos. Right, that's the pasuk in the beginning of Mishpatim, and that's the Chazal. So Chazal say, Afilu Kishedineim Kedineinu. Gemara says this in Gittin, the Peches, and the Medrash Halacha says it, the Mechilta. Even if the Psak is the same, right, there's still an Isur of Arkos. Why? Right? So, some explain that it's a Chil Hashem. They imply, we don't have good Jewish judges. Right? That all we care about is, the bottom line. But we should think that our judges are more, that there's no defect with our judges, maybe that they have an extra, ounce of, integrity or clarity or insight. Okay. But I always thought that the pshat is a little bit different. And the idea is as follows. And let me just, I mentioned the Drosh HaSaran the other day, so let me mention Drosh HaSaran just very quickly again. Right? Shavtav shavtav titan lecha b'chol sharecha, shar shem alakecha nosein lecha l'shvatecha, v'shavtus am mishpat tzedek. So we talked already about, what's this mishpat tzedek? It's superfluous. Right, and I mentioned Rashi says mishpat tzedek, for the sake of, we have it in our sheets here, mishpat tzedek for a better din, the sifrei itself omits the better din part. Okay, I think I already mentioned that the Drosh HaSaran has a totally different pshat in the pasuk, right? He reads it as follows: Shoftim shoftim titan lechol b'chol sharecha, asher shem lokach nosein lechol l'shvatecha, v'shoftus am mishpat tzedek. That is meant to contrast with a melech. The Drosh HaSaran, a very innovative but very well known drasha, got picked up by the Abarbanel, became more mainstream. Says there are two dinim in Choshen Mishpat. There's the din of the shofet and the din of the melech. The din of the shofet, and that's what the pasuk, end of the pasuk means, v'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. The din of the shofet, even the Choshen Mishpat, part of the shofet, is an ideal law. The dinim sometimes, let's go back to Eid of the Eid of Masra. By the way, the Ramah says this about Eid of the Eid of Masra. He says, is that a kula or a chumra? Makes it harder to convict. If you need Hasra and you need two Edim and you need all these other requirements, right? So the Ran also says in his Drasha, he says, a Jewish law is very idealistic. And that's a good thing. That's what it means. V'shaftu sa'am, it's mishpat tzedek. We bend over backwards, that the values of Torah should be embedded even in this pragmatic part of the law. And that's good. And he adds, and for that reason, right, the shofet in Choshen Mishpat is no different from, and the Mishpat Tzedek has the same spiritual transcendent status as Kadshim, Taros, other parts of Jewish law. Right? Bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lanaga. You go to the same place. Right? V'kamta v'yalisa lamakom. It's the same bezna gadol. Meaning, there's no difference fundamentally, like Rabbeinu Yonah was saying, maybe even more. It's the interface of real life and idealism. It's an area in which every culture needs to weigh in. And therefore, in some respect, Haskel v'yadoa osi, Chosha Mishpat is even more impressive. The idea is that it's firmly ensconced in Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Shisha Sidra Nishna, right, in Arba Shah Chelke Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it's as idealistic as the Zrayim and the Tarts. But, he says, sometimes you're going to have very difficult situation if you're going to be so idealistic. Because there can be circumstances where you need to have the flexibility of being more pragmatic. So that's what the Torah is telling us. The Mishpat Tzedek, that belongs to the Shofet. Then there's a Melech. The Melech can tweak the Chosha Mishpat. He can bring it in line pragmatically where he needs it. The Dinin of Bnei Noach, right, which are standalone, are kind of like the Melech's role in Chosha Mishpat. The run in the end says that, don't forget, the Melech writes his own Sefer Torah, because he too needs to be an idealist, and in the end of the day, his pragmatic tweaking is also to facilitate a better Mishpat Tzedek. That you don't have in Mishpat Ben Noach. But the point I'm trying to make is to answer what did the Nitziv ask? If really, according to one view of the Ramah, the Dinim of Bnei Noach is identical in content to the Dinim of Yisrael, so what do we mean when we say Mishpatim Ba'ida Uma Aleluka? By the way, the Medrash asks this question, but not in such a strong way with the Ramah. Medrash just says, non-Jews don't know of legal systems. They have, the Code of Hammurabi and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and the, not mentioned in the Medrash either, but meaning, obviously, society, in order to run smoothly, has to have, what do you mean, Mishpatim Ba'idum? I remember my father mentioning some years ago, as a drasha, Umishpatim Ba'yidaum, I forget who was the name, it's coming to mind, maybe it's a Kotzker comment. Umishpatim Ba'yidaum Haleluka. That's the pshat. In other words, a what's unknown to the rest of the world is a Mishpatim, right, which proclaims Haleluka. But that's pretty much what the Drosh HaSaran is saying, right? V'shaftos ha-mishpat tzedek. And that's pretty much, if you look at what the Medrash answers, they have all sorts of different answers, but that's really what they're getting at. So the answer to the Nitziv is you can even have Chosha Mishpat. If you take Chosha Mishpat out of the rest of the Torah, it's still an idealistic system, and it's still an efficient system. But nothing like what it is when you see it in the bigger picture of everything else. That's Mishpatim Ba'yidaum Haleluka. So in the Gemara, possibly, if you have the Girsa of the Rambam and the Ramah, that is signified by, in a way, Moshivim Batei Dinim B'chol Pelech U'Pelech, when it comes to Bnei Noach, but when it comes to Klal Yisrael, Moshivim B'chol Pelech U'Pelech, U'Moshivim B'chol Ir V'Ir. That greater omnipresence, right, that greater ubiquity is a symbol of this idealism. There was a question, or we can continue? Good. Okay. So, so much for Bnei Noach. That's what you asked.
Can I just add one more?
Sure.
I want to say the Chiddush of Rav Lom.
But right, just remember, whatever you say, I might say Ein Meshivin Al Adrash.
From Rav Lom, something very special.
Okay.
He said, a defense of the Rambam.
Yeah.
Because the Ramban says, why was
Yaakov? Yeah, what I mentioned before. Right.
So he says, at the beginning of the parasha, it says, Asher Timei. He said, Vayidabeu Asher Timei Dino Achosam.
Yeah.
At the end of the parasha, it says, Vayavozo Ayur Asher Timu Achosam. Why is it? At the beginning, it's Timei, Loshin Yachidas.
Timu.
Loshin Rabim.
Yeah.
So Golbeth says, Shechem did an ugly thing to Dino. Do you think anybody else knew it was a private affair? Then the brothers came, and they proposed a deal. Tomorrow there's going to be a sign going up in the city square. Tomorrow the Moel's coming. People said, my high, what's going on?
So then, through the intercession of the brothers,
that was Mepharsim.
The Eidah became aware of it. So at the end, it's the Shartimu. They were accessories later, but not at the beginning. So the Machlokes between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi were whether entrapment constitutes grounds for dinim.
Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. Very sharp. Okay. Anyway, very good.
I like it.
let me mention a couple of other issues quickly so we can move on. Spend another few minutes next time, but next time I want to start already and off base on base, the difference between Odos, Valvos, and Xelos, and Chavos. So we mentioned last time the machlokas between the Ramban and the Chinuch, whether Bizman Azev is a mitzvah of Minu Dayanu. The Sefer Chinuch says yes, even though we don't have smuchim. But he says, you know, the idea that you want to have people who, you know, A, exemplify good behavior, encourage good behavior, etc., in whatever form we have that's a kiyum d'oraisa, presumably, of shoftim tithin l'chavachal sharacha. Whereas the Ramban, who seems to be focused much more, not on religious observance as a bigger idea, in which the judicial system is just a means to the end, but on the networking structure of the judicial system itself, Ramban says, no, there are no smuchim bizman hazeh, and therefore there's no mitzvah bizman hazeh. Next week, hopefully, if we get to that far, we'll talk about, well, we do apply certain dina bizman hazeh based on the concept of shlichu sayuk of dinan, and why isn't that enough for the Ramban regarding the mitzvah of shoftim shot? We'll get to that. Okay, so that's one issue. The second issue is the question of which bate dinim are included in this mitzvah. So the Mishnah says that the Bezen Shalayin Aleph is tasked with being Memane Sanhedros Lishvatim. And clearly that's a reference to Sanhedrin Shalchav Gimel. And presumably not just Lishvatim, but the other Sanhedros as well. B'chol Pelechu, B'chol Ir B'ir. But what about Bezen Shel Gimel? What about cities or Bate Dinim that are only three? So as we've noted, the Bezen Shelchav Gimel is all part of the hierarchy of the Bezen Shalayin Aleph. In other words, if there's no Bezen of 71 sitting in Lishos HaGazis, then there's no Bezen of 23 operating anywhere in the world. Right? It's an interconnected network. But Bezen of 3 for pure Dinei Mamonis can operate independently even if there is no Sanhedrin Katana or Sanhedrin Gedola sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's just interesting to note that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos and the Chinuch make explicit that the obligation to set up courts, you know, is contingent upon the size of the city. So that'll all, but it also will include a Bezen Shel Gimel. I mean, setting up all types of courts is part of the mitzvah. Rabbeinu Bechai in his Perush al HaTorah disagrees. He says, in his opinion, the only obligation is a Sanhedrin, not a Bezen Shel Gimel. Bezen Shel Gimel is not included in the mitzvah. So I think that possibly, he says a little bit differently, but I think if you take that conclusion, one might say that it goes back to some of the issues we were discussing. If we're interested in a presence and in efficiency and in deterrent and things like that, it shouldn't really matter whether it's Bezen Shel Gimel or Bezen Shel Chaf Gimel. I mean, obviously the Bezen Shel Chaf Gimel are more and they're, you know, also scarier and more inspiring at the same time. But the principle is the same. But if the idea of Shoftim Shotim Titen Lecha, B'chol Shvatecha, B'chol Shorecha, is the idea of setting up the whole network, and especially, as we discussed it, especially the idea that there's supposed to be a hierarchy, like Yisro, right? The Dvarim HaChashuvim and the Dvarim HaGedolim have to go to the special, you know, highest authorities. And the middle cases have to go to the, you know, the people who it's appropriate for. It's all about the network. Then you might say that the Bezen Shel Gimel is not part of the network. The Bezen Shel Gimel is more of an ad hoc functionary, but the very fact that it's not linked to Bezen B'lish Sagazis might separate it from that. So that's another issue. Third issue is the question of who appoints, who has this mitzvah. So I think somebody asked me this last week. If you look at the Mishnah, the impression you'd get would be that Bezen HaGadol has this mitzvah. Because it says, Ein, right, Monim Sanhedrin
right, Ben Shlain Aleph are obligated to be Mamana, you know, Sanhedrin of the Shvatim. But the question I asked in the beginning was, it's their obligation, or they are just the, like they're the, you know, they're the sanctioning body. You know, you have to go to the government, you know, just to get, you know, the proper paperwork or whatever it is. Or that doesn't mean it's their obligation, that office. It means that they're the functionaries. It has to go through them. It's a mechanism. Oh. So the Rambam makes it sound like Bez Nagadol has this obligation. And the Rambam puts this halacha in Perek Hei, Hilchos Sanhedrin, halacha Aleph. I think we have that here. However, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, I'm not sure if I have that. Do I have it? I know I have Dalet Aleph. Do I have Hei Aleph? No, I guess I don't. Okay. Well, we'll get back to it. But if you look at Sefer HaChinuch, look at Sefer HaChinuch on page 5, starting from line 5. No, Heges Mitzvazu, Klamar, Sanhedrin Gedola, Ukatana, Ubez, and Shogimel, unlike Rabbeinu Bechai, as I mentioned, all three types of Bezin are included in the mitzvah. The Eretz Yisrael, Sheyesh Sham Smicha, we'll still speak about that a little bit next week. Avalo Bechutzlar, Sheyen Somchim Bechutzlar. Avalo Mikamakom, Kal Nismach Baritz, Roy Lishbar, Afilu Bechutzlar. Zeo, Mashamar, Mizokar, Libracha, No Heges, Baritz, Bechutzlar. Ulam, Ein Rishus, Ladun, Bidin, Fashos, Labaritz, Bechutzlar, Mizbara Bayis, Uzvan, Shisanet, and Kvub Yushalai. So the mitzvah applies bizman hazeh. I'm sorry, the mitzvah applies, only in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Vizos achas min ha-mitzvos ha-mutolos ala tzibur kulan shebechom makom u-makom. Tzibur roi l'kvah b'neim bezdin kamosha mevuar v'lo kavu bitlo atzei zeh v'onshun gadol miod ka-mitzvah zos amud chazak b'kiyum hadas. That's what he says, yeshon l'lum mizesh afal pishen lanu ayom b'avaroseinu smuchim Yesh l'kol kol v'kol shebechol makom l'manos b'neim tzas min atovim shilem koach al kulam l'achricham and so on. So the Chinuch says,
and is Yisro's recommendation to Moshe Rabbeinu, was that just for the Dor HaMidbar? How does this mesh with all this?
Well, I mean, it's patterned a little bit after 10, it.
50, 100.
It's patterned after it. Sorry, Alafim, sorry, Meos. Yeah. Yeah. It's patterned after it.
That's nothing to do with Dinim or the Dinim.
What Yisro did was bigger than Dinim. It was like, you know, and it was a broader idea of how to structure the, you know, religious authority in the Jewish community. But definitely that was the pattern that was being used for, you know, for setting up hierarchies, which is interesting.
But does anyone make a bracha on Al-Kabiyak Bandin?
No, I don't think so. No, not that I'm aware of. Not that I've ever seen. Well, we can talk about the next thing. Anyway, I want to make one point before we adjourn. Do you want to?
Every time
it'll be exciting.
Every time you go to
abandon,
maybe
Yeshiva abandoned
or Kvi
abandoned. Yeah. No. Don't do it. I appreciate the enthusiasm. I'll try to explain next week that you want. So let me leave you with the following thought, and then we just have a little more to do next week before we move on. We still have to speak about Smicha a little more. And we have to speak a little bit more about this point. And this is as follows. What does it mean? Chinuch says that it's a mitzvah on the tzibur. Right? So how does that work with the Mishnah? So it could be a mechanism. But the thought I want to leave you with, which I'm going to just elaborate more next week, is we read a couple of weeks ago, I think I read the language of the Rambam and of Mamrim. You lent it to me. You have it there in a minute? The Rambam and of Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, talks about Bezin HaGadol, with this we'll conclude for today. He speaks about the overlapping nature of the Bezin HaGadol. Meaning, what is this institution? Bezin HaGadol Shebu Yerushalayim Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh. Right? They are the carriers of the Mesorah. The Heim Amud Hahora. Right? They're also the poskim. Umehem chok u'mishpat yotzei l'chol Yisrael. They're also legislative. Ve'aleim ivticha Torah she'nemar al pi Torah she yarucha al mishpat asher yomer l'cha. They're also sustain everything. Zumit sasei. And then he adds, kol ha'mamin b'moshe Rabbeinu b'taraso chayv lismoch maisa hadas eleim u'lihishayin aleim. Fascinating language in the Rambam. If you're a believer, if you're on Moshe Rabbeinu's team, if you're supportive of Moshe Rabbeinu, then you have to support the Bezin HaGadol. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu keneged ein aleph. We'll talk about this a little more next week. Oh. So the Rav used to develop this idea, or Belbel has it, others have it, and the Tziv says it also, and that is, what are the overlapping functions of the Bezna Gadol? Again, there's legislative, there's judicial, there's intellectual, the repository of the Mesorah, right? But I would add, I'm adding this part, but it fits in with what they're saying. Part of the connection to Moshe Rabbeinu is that the Bezen HaGadol also represent the interests of Klal Yisrael. They're the ultimate representation of the interests, the national interests of the Tzibor of Klal Yisrael. And what, when the Mishnah says that Sanhedrin Shnayin Aleph is tasked with setting up the Batei Dinim, and the Chinuch and the Bahag and others say it's a mitzvah mutelas ala Tzibor, perhaps it's not a steer at all. What we're saying is the obligation devolves upon the Tzibor, and the Tzibor in this matter is represented by Bezna God. But if that's the case, there are some important implications for that that I want to pursue next time, as well as, again, a little bit more on the concept of Chutzaretz and Smicha, and then we move on to Hodos V'Havos.